Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out. The bad seed, the broken day, the bad, how about the bad, not a suit, hanging around a bunch of bad, not a bad day, bad lie, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Varela Palace, right across the river through the woods from where Granny loves 420. She's been talking all day in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, ready to try some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do it. All my friends that come around, flat to party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what about this town's tattered, my brain's splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shaking it. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Farrell with Carver High, and the number is toll-free, 844-843-6879 to get on the bench. All right, we got a really good show tonight. We'll have High Heat on momentarily. Detective Dolan, high end, high heat. Popo, 30-year homicide, no joke. We'll talk to him about the Derek Chauvin guilty verdicts and the status of what it's like being a cop these days, you know, in this country, because they got a really bad rap. And there's no doubt a lot of it, certainly what happened in Minneapolis, they had it coming. This guy had it coming. Chauvin did it. He killed him. He murdered him. Everyone knew it. The only thing they had to do was convict him. And it wasn't going to be easy because all these white cops get off every time. And the racism is just, it's, let's just say, out of control and abundant everywhere. I mean, it happens all day, everywhere. And then they finally got one. They finally got justice for one after thousands of fails and swings and misses. The black community deserved that. They deserved justice, and the Floyd family deserved justice, and Chauvin's going to rot in jail. I don't think he's going to make it, Carver High. I really don't. I just, the over-under on that guy in his federal pen is not good. I keep hearing all this stuff about isolation and putting him in a minimum security and keeping him safe. Like, why? Why? Why would they do that? I mean, for what reason? The guy's a killer, and you're going to give him special treatment because he's a cop? That guy's dead. I don't care what anybody says. They're going to kill him wherever he goes, or he'll kill himself. And no one wants to hear it. It's just grim. It is what it is. And, you know, I just say it and tell it like it is. That's the bottom line. You know it. I know it. Carver, how do you disagree with any of that?
That he shouldn't be getting special treatment? No, he shouldn't be getting special treatment. Definitely not.
Do you think he'll make it?
I don't know. I don't know enough about the guy. I have no idea what they're going to do with him. I mean... they put him with, some crazy maximum secure, general population. No, he probably won't, but they're not going to do that. So I'm sure he's going to be fine.
So why wouldn't they do that? I don't understand. Like, so what special treatment does he deserve? I guess we'll find out. I welcome in our radio affiliates, Sirius XM channel 204, our satellite partners, and of course, Mightier 1090 in San Diego and all of Southern California. Yeah, Shadoobe. And then Sports Map Radio, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio, Hoorah, Soldier Hoorah, for all on a bench with Carver High tonight. Like, my thing is that I don't think he's, getting special treatment, like, putting him in a safe prison or a minimum security. For what reason? He's a killer. That's it. I mean, it was okay for him to stick his knee on that guy's neck and kill him, right? But now he gets a nice country club prison? Are you kidding me? I don't think they're going to give him that at all. And I think he's going to last about, I give it 6 months tops. I mean, I'm not even sure I give it six. I might give it three. Seriously. I mean, it's just not going to go well. First of all, they don't like cops in prison, okay? Because cops put them there. And then, and half of them don't even belong there. They throw them in and throw away the key for, stupid things like getting popped with a bag of weed in your car, and they put them away for 30 years. It's unbelievable that the prison system our courts are a joke. They really are. I mean, people get convicted of stuff they didn't even do. And there's people serving time left and right for things they didn't do. And then there's tons that did do it and that are serving time. But I don't think that guy, frankly, his name is Mudd. And he's doomed. That guy's doomed. Some people, because they took him today in cuffs, he's no bail. He's not getting out. He'll be sentenced in 8 weeks. I won't be surprised he don't make it 8 weeks. Wherever he is. Now, he might be safe now for 8 weeks. But I'll ask what he thinks of it. And what's happened to the, police in this country now. Bottom line is they don't get any respect. Then again, they don't give it either. We'll do it all tonight on the bench. All right, Pharrell on the bench with Carver High. That final now is 134-129. The Nets beat the Pelicans. They were getting three. Carver High and I were all over the Nets tonight, and they win it. They got another game tomorrow night. By the way, Harden re-injured his hamstring on the court doing some work on the hammy, trying to get back in game shape and stuff. And working on things, and he blew it out again. He's out now indefinitely. So he obviously, I don't think you'll see him play the rest of the regular season. He might come back the last week. There's a month left. I think that's a tough situation right there. Anyway, High Heat, Ed Dolan, Detective Dolan. We always like to have him on the show. He's a longtime, detective in New York City and Jersey City. He's seen it all, homicides out the ass, you name it. Bottom line is that he's on tonight. I wanted to get his reaction to the Chauvin trial and the guilty verdicts. And I have to ask you, High Heat, what the job now of being a police officer in this country, the definition of it's changing by the day. And I think they've obviously a lot of people – frankly, just don't respect the police anymore at all. I mean, zero. So it's got to be a tough job to have now when no one respects you.
Well, Scott, thanks for having me today. This is it's a difficult day, I think, for America. There are no winners today. I know justice was served, but two families are devastated, and I Just want to go back to, I think this whole case, when the 9 minute and 29 second video was presented by the prosecution to the jury, there was no doubt that you would have a predictable verdict. It was clearly excessive, unjustified use of force. When Mr. Floyd was handcuffed and under control, I've been in these situations out on the street, on a hostile street corner. Everything's being slung at you. You got to, once you have that individual under control, get him into the police cruiser and get him out of the area immediately. If he needs medical attention, you have the ambulance meet you at the district. So there were a bunch of misses there. Number one, I think America was in agreement that that was an egregious, excessive, unjustified use of force. And I'm, as you stated, law enforcement, this hurts me, but this is not representative of what most police officers engage in proper professional behavior every day. And when you look at our justice system, which has always been under a microscope, based on the facts presented to the jury of his peers, the justice system prevailed today. You had 12 ordinary people that came together beyond a reasonable doubt to find him guilty on all three charges. So the justice system did prevail today. It doesn't bring George Floyd back. But I think there was a justifiable verdict that was deliberated upon for 10 and a half hours, and the findings came back, and I think everybody's in agreement with the charges.
So if your guess would be, what kind of facility is he going to go to? Carver High and I have been going back and forth on this. Like, I don't think the guy deserves any special treatment. I mean, he's a killer. And I don't care what anybody said. They're not going to protect him because he's a cop. He's dug himself a hole that he can't get out of. And my guess is he goes to a federal pen. And at some point, he's going to be in the general pop. That's my guess. But you're telling me they're going to send this guy to a country club and keep him safe? For what reason?
No. I believe he would go to a state penitentiary. I think initially he's going to be monitored. Because being put behind bars, he's going to be, I would say, if it was me and he was in my prison, I would have close eyes on him as a potential inflict of bodily injury to himself or suicide risk. So I think he will be closely monitored initially, and I think he would be migrated into general population if there is an incident or fights, then, you know, they put people into isolation based on behaviors or incidents that occur. But he's going to be in, my belief is he's going to be in general population until something is warranted to remove him into solitary confinement or, you know, listen, it's a bad situation. I don't think this has a good ending, you know, on any front. And like I said, there's no winners today in America.
He's a cop, and they're going to kill him. They're going to kill him. What they're going to do? They're going to kill him in prison. That's what's going to happen. So I just don't believe anybody. No, I mean, just that's what's going to happen. You know it as well as I do. I mean, guys get whacked for way less in prison than this guy. Are you kidding me? Like, so let me ask you, because I only got a couple minutes, Ed. I want to ask you a question. So you got the Honda. And you were literally on death's doorstep for 5 days in the hospital with a tube shoved down your throat to help you breathe. That is no fun at all. I had my second shot, and I literally have had 24 hours of the flu. And both times I got the shot, I had, you know, 24 hours of basically having the flu. I mean, I think that whole thing sucks. That whole COVID and the shots and the vaccines and everything about it, the entire kaleidoscope of it sucks.
Yeah, and I think when you find yourself in a hospital with oxygen and pneumonia and all sorts of IVs, it shocks you to the core, and you start to wonder if it's time to meet your maker. There was some shaky times there, but I'm happy to be back and getting better every day, and you know, being able to speak with you guys tonight.
Hey, so your Rangers look good tonight.
Well, you know what? I think we need four more games with the Devils. We need four more games with the Devils.
Carver High, the Islanders took them apart tonight, right? 6-1?
They sure did. Beat down at the Coliseum, that's for sure. 6-1.
I thought that was going to be a better game than that. I don't know. I was watching that coach after the game doing his press conference. He didn't have anything to say either. I actually think they're better than people think they are. I don't think they're the worst team I've seen play hockey, the Rangers.
Listen, two things with the Rangers. Look at the awful slow start that Zibanejad had for like the first 15 or 18 games. He finally gets started, and then you lose Panarin to going into seclusion. So, you know, you lost 9 games of Panarin, and Zibanejad got off to a slow start. When you see these two guys together, I think it's one of the more dominant lines in hockey.
Yeah, you know, I like them. So let me ask you this question. The Knicks won their 7th in a row tonight. I mean, that is just crazy. Like, I watch the Knicks every night. And not only did they win tonight, they covered that 5. And they play the Hawks again tomorrow night at home, going for 8 in a row. Can you even believe what Thibodeau's doing? I got 1 minute respectfully, Ed.
You know, it's been about, what, Scott, 20 years since we've seen a 7-game win streak by the Knicks. And I got to tell you, he's doing it with a lot of smoke and mirrors. I think we're a good shooting guard, one or two solid players away, but we need that consistent shooting guard. And I think this team can take that next step. I'm not saying they're a top 5 team in the league. They play hard every night. They give you effort. They rarely get blown out. And they just need one score, like in an old Allen Houston, that they could penetrate, kick, knock down a 3, hit the big shot. They just don't have that consistently. If they get that with Thibodeau's coaching, you know, they can make some noise.
Yeah, no doubt. Hi, Heat. It's good to see you back in the gym. I'm glad you didn't die. And I had it, too. That stuff's no joke. I mean, to tell you, I was in for one night in the hospital. That is absolutely horrifying, that COVID. It's absolutely a menace to society. Love you, High Heat. Thanks for talking about Derek Chauvin and the po-po-po. All the best, my man. I'll see you at the gym.
Great to be with you guys. Thanks.
All right, there he is. High Heat, a legend. All right, Roger Gonzalez is our good friend from CBS, and he always talks soccer with us. And he's on the bench tonight to talk about this entire mess with the Super League. It's been suspended, and all of the English clubs pulled out, and we wanted to talk to him about what happened. How you doing, Rog?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
My man. So that was crazy, right? Like Sunday, I think they announced it, right? And then by, what was it, Sunday? And then by Tuesday, the whole thing blew up in their face. Like, it is just unbelievable. And they were diving off like nobody's business. All these teams ran. One minute they were in, and the next minute they all ran. What happened?
Yeah, I mean, this has been years in the making, you know, creating this Super League and a new competition to kind of, you know, ensure the future stability of the sport for the strongest teams. And, you know, for your listeners, I would compare it to, you know, college basketball. Imagine if they just created like a postseason competition that only included, you know, Duke, North Carolina, UCLA, Michigan, you know, the biggest schools, where there's no more Cinderella stories. You know, you don't have those uneven matchups on paper that turn into, you know, must-see games that, you know, you remember forever. And I mean, it was a money grab. You're trying to split all this money from a lot of the American owners that were backing this project and trying to alter the landscape of the sport to benefit the biggest teams. And, you know, it was one of those things where it felt like at some point it could happen, but the amount of, you know, outrage from the fans, from the players, from managers, it just became too much for these clubs to handle. I mean, they were ruined. They've already damaged their brand as a result. But, you know, they're trying to save face in the very end. And thankfully, you know, they've turned their back on what was a horrible idea that would have had a lot of consequences for some of the smaller teams.
So what did you think when you saw the fans, like at Liverpool and Leeds and Chelsea at Stamford Bridge going and having these huge protests. And I mean, they literally shut down those towns and just took over, and they just weren't having it. What did you think of the fans' reaction to it and their revolt?
Yeah, I mean, it was what I expected. You know, as so many people have said, the sport is nothing without its fans. And so I expected them to you know, to be loud and voicing their opinion about the whole thing. And, you know, delaying the Chelsea game today by not letting the bus, you know, get through. I mean, they had an objective and were able to accomplish it. And it just feels like no person who really understands the sport in their right mind would see any benefit of, you know, of doing a project like this. And so, you know, a lot of these clubs hate their owners anyways. You know, they don't agree with all the things that they do. And this is kind of the tipping point where you have people now, you know, potentially resigning from their positions as executives of the clubs. And it just feels like there's going to be a whole lot more dominoes to fall. And the fans deserve all of the credit in getting this overturned.
So, I said today on my TV show, Coast to Coast on Sports Grid, that when Man City jumped out, the money they make and the money they spend and the operation that they have going, the minute that they were out, the rest of them started following like dogs. And then on last night, Dortmund, Bayern, and PSG all said they weren't going to do it. And they had left open three spots in the Super League. And that's rumored to be the three teams they were going to get in. And they all said they weren't doing it because I actually believe they might have done it and until they saw everybody else jumping ship, right?
Yeah, I mean, potentially. I think when you look at, you know, PSG, excuse me, their president is on the UEFA board, but so, you know, maybe not them, but Juventus's president was also on the UEFA board. He resigned, to do the Super League thing. So, you know, anything was certainly possible. It was nice to see, you know, established clubs like Bayern Munich and Dortmund go against such a theatrical, unethical project. I think it's a huge relief for a lot of people. You know, the sport is always changing. All sports are as you adapt to different times, be it, you know, the NFL expanding to 17 games. There's always changes, but this was just something that would have been, you know, would have changed everything in the sport, where the richer get richer and the poorer get poorer. It would have been, you know, a shame to see. So it's nice to see a solution for the time being. You know, the Super League people say they're going to continue to work and try to find out some type of, you know, solution. But, you know, when you have these big names that are backing out, it's hard to see a way back to where it would be a big competition with the biggest clubs.
Well, it's not going to happen now at all. So I have to ask you, the, you know, how could they be so wrong about their idea? You know what I mean? Like, how could they have like butchered this so badly to think that the fans and the media and the, you know, even UEFA that, you know, that all of them wouldn't, you know, freak out about this move that they were making? How could they have all these powerful, filthy rich teams and the people that were orchestrating this idea for the Super League, how could they have butchered this so badly? Because they must have thought, Roger, that they had a great idea, and then there wasn't a person on the face of the earth that agreed with them.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think there's two parts to that. One is, you know, these owners, the ones who are putting in all the money, they're the ones that have, you know, the ultimate say. A lot of these guys don't know jack about the sport. You know, I'm a huge Buccaneers fan. I love the Buccaneers. They've been my favorite team. But the Glazers don't know anything about soccer. They don't. Like, they don't know anything about the history of the club and everything that club has come from in Manchester United and the people that started. They know nothing about the history, and they're no part of it other than financing. So I think when you have people who don't know the history and the importance of it, you obviously aren't educated in what a decision like this could mean. And then the other thing, you know, when it comes to the fans, obviously being the most important part of the club, and not getting their take on it, and not even the players or the managers. You've had, you know, these interviews with Pep Guardiola, Jurgen Klopp, saying, you know, they found out when everyone else did. They didn't know much about it ahead of time, and it's kind of concerning, you know, when you think about that disconnect between the team and these huge decisions that, you know, would potentially change everything.
So I have to ask about, like, you know, the owner of Liverpool, this Henry guy, the Red Sox, right? So he's another one that has no idea what he's doing. He knows how to make money. He's a businessman. Fair enough. But, like, they were really – they loved him when he brought a Champions League and a Premier League title to Anfield. But they there's people saying now that if that guy shows his face in Liverpool ever again, he won't get out of there alive. Like, there's people legitimately that want to hurt him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's, you know, the amount of passion and emotion that goes into European soccer, nothing, you know, surprises me when it comes to those threats, which are obviously, you know, scary and concerning in their own right. But I think, you know, these are people who these fans, you know, want potentially, you know, pushed out of the club, whether it's, you know, Arsenal's owner, I think he's, if I recall, with the Rams, right? The LA Rams, I think. Kroenke.
Right.
I might be wrong there, but
that's right.
Yeah.
Right.
So and you know, Arsenal people, you know, are, you know, fans are calling for him to sell the club, to, you know, not be a part of it anymore. And so it's certainly, you know, a dark day for these brands, a big day for the sport that I think we'll look back on. But, you know, you have to wonder what damage has been done. And I wonder how much of it was, you know, UEFA threatening to, you know, eliminate these teams. You know, think about the Champions League semifinals next week. You've got, you know, Real Madrid, Chelsea, PSG, Manchester City. Three of those teams were going to go to this Super League. And, you know, they get kicked out of the Champions League, at least threatened. And, you know, what that means for their season and financially. And, you know, all of a sudden they do a 180 and, you know, kind of want to come crawling back. So it's going to be interesting to see how things develop in the next few days.
So respectfully, I have 1 minute. I don't see what's so wrong with the Champions League and the Premier League and the Euro tournament and, you know, the FA, all the, you know, you and I talk all the time about soccer. Really, at the end of the day, what's wrong with it besides nothing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, people maybe get bothered by how things change. You know, the Champions League is expanding the 36 teams. They're doing away with the group stage. It's just going to be like one big league table where they're changing the format. So, you know, some people don't like change. World Cup is obviously going to be expanding in the coming years to, what, 48 teams. So, you know, a lot of people are maybe in favor of that. But I think, you know, like we said, there's competitions that change all the time, and the championships are changing, and I think as it is, that things are fine and need to stay that way.
Wow, it's crazy. This story has fascinated us all week. We've been talking about it since Friday. They mentioned it. Sunday, they came out with it. Tuesday, the thing folds, basically. It's just crazy. And then you've got the semis, like you said, of the Champions League coming up, and those are going to be great games. I think PSG might take it the way they're playing. They're unbelievable. I can't wait to see it. I'm glad that whole thing crumbled and fell apart. I think they look like a bunch of idiots, all these geniuses. They got egg on their face. Roger, thanks for coming on the bench, as always, my man.
Thanks, man. Be well.
All right, Roger Gonzalez of CBS with us on the bench. All right, Pharrell on a bench with Carver. So the European Super League convinced that the status quo of European football needed to change. They were proposing a European league because the existing system does not work, in their opinion. They were aiming to allowing the sport to evolve while generating resources and stability for the full football pyramid, including helping to overcome the financial difficulties experienced by the entire football community as a result of the pandemic. It would also provide a materially enhanced solidarity payments to all football stakeholders. Despite the announced departure of the English clubs forced to take such decisions due to the pressure on them, we're convinced that our proposal is fully aligned with European law and regulations, as well as demonstrated today by a court decision to protect the Super League from third-party actions. We shall reconsider the most appropriate steps to reshape the project, always having in mind our goals of offering fans the best experience possible while enhancing solidarity payments for the entire football community. The bottom line is that it sounds like they still think that in time they're just going to reorganize and figure out a better way to do this. And I'm here to tell you that after what I just saw over a 3-day period, they're never getting that thing off the ground. They think they are, but they're completely on crack. It's not happening.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that they're going to be able to do this thing. The backlash was so strong from all corners, like legitimately all corners. Like, I couldn't find a person who said that this was a good idea. And you know me, I'm big into soccer, and I keep up with everything that's kind of going around. I couldn't find one person on Monday or today that was like, I don't know why everybody's so upset. This is a great idea. Nobody said it. So, and when Pep this morning, you know, Guardiola, he had like a news conference this morning and they asked him about it. And when he started, you know, kind of getting down on it, and this was before Man City announced they were out, you knew that this wasn't going to go well for them, because Pep got up there being like, the whole point of football is, you know, to play for something.
To win.
You know, to win, you know, and not to already be in it. So when he did that this morning, the train just slowly got off the tracks for them. And it was, and then they stopped the Chelsea bus. I mean, before the game, the fans are outside. The bus couldn't get into the stadium. Like, it's just, it got real bad. And I don't know why they have, like, some of these teams, I get it. You know, they haven't been as dominant the last 20 years. I mean, to put a team like Arsenal in here, who hasn't done much in a long time, or Tottenham, or AC Milan, you know, it's just, this was guaranteed for them to always be playing these enormous matches. And that's something that they've been missing on now for the last 15 years. So I got it from some of those teams' aspects, but it's not, it'll never work.
So I don't know if you saw that James Corden guy on CBS. He went off on him. He said the truth is,
making
this move, these teams, these owners are killing. They will kill hundreds of other football teams that compete with them and have competed with them over the years, disregarding the fan bases of those teams and of their own teams, who are also devastated. I'm heartbroken, genuinely heartbroken, because the owners of these teams have displayed the worst kind of greed I've ever seen in sport. Many football teams in Britain are over 100 years old and have been started by working class people, dock workers, builders, built by and for the communities they play in. They are not franchises. These new billionaire owners have in the past 10 to 15 years been buying up all the top teams and slowly but surely moving them away from the communities and foundations on which these teams were built. Man, the statement of the 12 owners and why they've announced such a jaw-dropping plan during the season where there's still 7 games to go is disgusting. 3 times they mentioned the pandemic as a reason to do this. A pandemic that has been catastrophic for clubs and communities across Britain, across the world, right?
Yeah, somebody had an article today pretty much outlining how that was one of the worst excuses that they could use, was using the pandemic, because the money was still rolling in at a lot of these places. You know, and that's not the case for smaller clubs, but the money still rolls in at, you know, at Man City. The money still rolls in at Barcelona. You know, Barcelona's had some problems. Listen, Barcelona's got their own issues. The issues that Barcelona has doesn't have to do with the pandemic. Barcelona's issues are the decisions that they've made over the last 5 or 6, you know, years with their roster making and how they've spent their money. That's where Barcelona has a problem. But look, these teams aren't hurting. And I thought Roger had a great analogy. It would be like in college basketball if, you know, Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, you know, and all, Kentucky, you know, the Blue Bloods, UCLA, Kentucky, and, you know, 10 other teams got together and said, well, you know, we're just going to play our tournament at the end of the year. People, you know, that's it. Forget all the 64 teams or whatever. We'll just do our own thing. You know, that's kind of like exactly what
that's
these guys are trying to do. And it just doesn't
exactly
work.
That's dead on what they were trying to do. It really is unbelievable. So like your team, Huddersfield Town, that's the perfect example of a team that it was built by dock workers, by the you know, blood, sweat, and tears of the community. Guys, you know, it's all about the town, the whole town, everything about it is, it's about Huddersfield. That's all they care about is their team. They don't even care if they're not in the premiership. Well, they just want to have their team.
And that's why when they were in it for 2 years, a couple years ago, it was such an enormous thing. And they never had any chance to win the Premier League. But the fact that they were in it for 2 years was so enormous in that town. It just, it's such a game changer. Like for 100 years, you know, that club's been together and they've always been a second division team. And for them to spend a year in the Premier League and then somehow spend a second, it's something that fans of that club, listen, it might be the one thing they ever remember, because you're never going to win the, listen, a team like that's never going to win. Leicester only happens once every 200 years. What Leicester did was unbelievable.
Right.
You know, but just for a team like Huddersfield to get there is what it's all about.
So I told you, did you ever watch the Ted Lasso show?
I didn't.
Amazon?
No, I saw they have a new season coming out. I have to watch the first one. I have to watch the first season. I have it, Amazon.
Perfect,
I have to watch it.
It's a perfect example of this whole thing. It's about this team that's, you know, going to get relegated. They're awful. They never win. They're horrible. They have no talent. They got a bunch of washed up guys. And then they hire this American football coach, football, literally our football, to coach him. He had won at NCAA football in Wichita State was where he was coaching, allegedly. And it's just the epitome of this story. It's the exact thing of what's going on here with all these gigantic teams that are gobbling up these little teams, and they just don't matter. But I think this thing, these monster teams that were going to go do this, all of them were gigantic. They are, it's without a doubt, they're just greed. That's what it's about. This is about greed. This is about nothing else other than power and greed. It's not even about football. It's about money. And they don't like the way it's being run. So they thought they'd start their own union, if you will. We're not going to have it anymore. We're not going to have these bosses pushing us around. We're going to form a union, and we'll see how they like that. And we'll have to have collective bargaining agreements. Same kind of thing, right?
Pretty much like that. And it is amazing because they're expanding now the Champions League. UEFA's expanding, you know, the entire system. I guess they didn't like that because they're letting more teams, you know, get an opportunity to crack into it. But that's what it's all about. I can't believe that these big clubs would be so scared off by it. But money talks. And when it's being run by owners who have not been involved in the sport for their entire lives and don't know the history of what goes on, whether it be the Glazers or Kroenke or Henry or even any of these other guys that own you know, the teams in Spain and the teams in Italy too. You know, it was a bad idea, and man, did they look bad now. I mean, just everybody running away from it. I don't see how they – I know they think that they're going to be able to eventually put something together and figure out a way to do it. I just don't see how they do after what's happened the last 2 days.
So the Yankees broke their 5-game losing streak tonight.
Wow.
Very little offense. They scored on wild pitches and a bases-loaded walk from Nate Jones in the eighth inning. Wow. They gave him the 3-1 win. And the reality of the game was, it's pretty obvious to me that the bullpen was the reason they won the game. Tyone started. I thought he played, you know, pitched really well. That's the first time we've seen a glimpse of him looking really good. 4 hits, 1 earned run, 1 walk, 5 Ks. And then Letke pitched an inning, he walked two. That wasn't great. Chad Green, though, 2/3 of an inning, 2 hits, no runs, no walks, 2 strikeouts. Wilson got the big ground out to second with the bases loaded on Freddie Freeman. Luesiga came in, pitched a perfect inning with a strikeout, and then Chapman closed the door with 2 strikeouts and 1 walk. But they got it done, and they finally won a game after losing 5 in a row.
Yeah, and that's the one part of the team that actually has been good throughout this now 6-10 start, is their bullpen has pitched better. Now, there's some real hacks out there that get into some of these games, but their bullpen overall has not been their issue during this really bad stretch. And that eighth inning was something else. They had the bases loaded. Frazier comes up pinch hitting, and you want Frazier to do something good just to kind of stick it to him. Because of how they keep benching him, he didn't play. He didn't start again tonight. And then the wild pitch happens, and they score the run there. So that kind of takes a little bit of pressure off of Frazier, because now you have the lead. It's a 2-1 game, and then he popped up. And then Glaber popped up. And they load the bases, and what was the other one? Would they walk the other run in or something? You know,
yeah,
both
runs. They walked in a run, it's just, a wild pitch and a walk.
Look, they needed a win, and they got one. That's the main thing. But it's not like the offense was leading the way again here tonight. They had some lucky things happen for them.
Yeah, and, you know, they bottom line is they didn't get to him, but they didn't let Charlie Morton beat him. And I think Charlie Morton's still a great pitcher. I really do. Like, his stuff is still filthy. I don't care what anybody says. Yankees, he is hard too. To score on.
He kills the Yankees. I mean, he pitched good tonight. Six innings, one run. Yeah, when he was with the Rays, he killed the Yankees. And, you know, he pitched good tonight. Six innings, one run.
So what did you think of Tyone, our boy Jameson?
I thought he could have kept going. I thought that once again the Yankees went to the charts and graphs and the computers, and they took him out after five. I actually thought he could have gave him another one. Now it worked out. Their bullpen pitched great. But this is the problem I had with him with Tanaka the last few years. Like, they never let him try to keep going a little bit longer. You know, they just – and it seems like it's going to be the same way with Tyone. Five innings, get him out.
So Torres went over 4. Ford went over 3. Sanchez went over 4. Urshela had the big game. He had a double and a home run. His home run tied the game at 1. He had a good game with the bat. And LeMahieu was 2 of 4. He's hitting 300 now. So if they could just get a few guys, you know, if they could just get 3 or 4 guys hitting in that lineup, I think that their fortunes will change. Because you know as well as I do, all those teams in the American League, most of them, at the end of the day, are average at best. I mean, that's what I'm seeing. I'm watching the Blazers. They lead the Clippers 41-37 with 8 minutes left in the second. It's Ferrell on the bench. So, Carver High, would you disagree with that getting up at like 3 or 4 in the morning to when you're living in a place like New York City when it's cold and freezing in the winter for 8 months? I mean, we have an 8-month winter here. Let's stop with all this other nonsense. We have an 8-month winter. That's what we have. It does not get nice until May. I mean, I don't know if you knew this or not, but like later this week, it's going to be 20 degrees. Okay. It was 75 today, and it's going to be 25 on Thursday. Like, are you effing kidding me? So, like, we were talking about our boy that they made move to morning drive, and he used to do nights, and he had it all going. Remember, he did 6 to 10 p.m., and that was a piece of cake. And then when they gave him the morning show, he's like, yeah, no problem. I'm all in. And then that took 6 months when he wanted to kill himself, and then he literally he quit. He never did it again. He just – Right, he did it for a year, and then he left radio completely.
He left radio completely. He hated it so much. He said, "I'm not even going to do radio anymore. I'll just keep my cushy TV job. See you later.
Bye." But is there anything worse than getting up in Long Island when it's 19 degrees and there's ice all over the roads, black ice, snow everywhere, biting wind, bone rattling wind? And you have to get in your car to drive to the fan to do a radio show. I want to kill myself. Like, I couldn't do it. You know, I wouldn't do it. I did mornings once in New York on NEW, and I was drunk every day. I was drunk every day. I went in right out of the bars. I'd literally drink till 2 a.m, pass out, get up at 5 and do the show on 3 hours sleep. And I'd have like 7 alarm clocks going off. I hated doing morning drive. It was the worst. I know all these guys that do it think they got this cushy thing. They're kidding themselves. Unless you live in San Diego. You wake up and you go out the front door and it's 70 degrees and sunny. I mean, you might even stop and go fishing before the show.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.